It's lovely you're here today, and we're looking forward very much to looking at the theme today, Jesus is the One Among Many. And I guess a pitch like that can sound a little bit arrogant and perhaps exclusive. After all, what is being claimed here? Jesus is the One Among Many. Is Jesus saying he's an opinion, an alternative, a choice available, like you're staring through a glass cabinet and you see all the array of ice creams, 20 of them to choose from, the Rocky Road, the rum and raisin. Which one do you choose? If you're like me, it's usually about half an hour and then I go away thinking maybe I chose the wrong one. Or what about buying a car? Does it really matter which one? Hang on, it does matter, doesn't it, which one we buy, doesn't it? All the options and the brands and the colours, which one? One car for you, and the brand is. I'll let you fill in the blank. What is it for you? When we say Jesus is the one among many, we're saying he is the sufficient one. He is the only one. He's the one in which we really do not need to look anywhere else. When we say Jesus is the one among many, the one for what purpose? Our sign out the front of our church says Jesus is the one among many. Picks up that those words of Jesus that we read just a moment ago in the yellow handout from John 14 and sentence number 6. Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father, except through me. Either Jesus is spectacularly delusional, or he is incredibly arrogant, or he is maybe making the most outrageous claim, or maybe he's an imposter, or maybe he is saying something that is the most important words, and you dare not ignore it. Jesus is really the one among many, is he? Many of you might be familiar with the story about the blind men and the elephant, and the blind men represent the many world religions in the world, and they've all got their perspective on what this animal is that they're trying to feel. And so one of the men is trying to feel the leg, and they say, this animal's like a tree. And, you know, the blind man's trying to feel the tail, and, or this feels like a rope, this animal's like rope, and so on. The story is told from the perspective of the king. He sees the animal as the elephant, and so it's meant to be an analogy of the world religions. On their own, they don't have the full picture. They only have their own perspective of the truth. And so according to the analogy, no religion has the total picture of the truth. And so as the king claims he sees the whole elephant, he has superior knowledge. And that's why he can tell each of them, that's only part of it. So everywhere there's a bit of truth here and a bit of truth there, and you sort of bring them all together and you get the full picture. But we need to ask, on what basis does he claim he sees when everyone else doesn't? What is the basis that the king has the superior knowledge? And who is this king anyway? What is he in the story? In fact, if he is blind, then the analogy doesn't work. And then we could ask, why wouldn't each blind man want more light to understand what the animal is? I mean, isn't that what each religion claims? They have their own claim about the enlightenment of things and making sense of everything. They're not just part of it. And then you've got the problem that three of the main world religions claim that God speaks. Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. God is a God who speaks. And so if the elephant is a metaphor of God, why doesn't the elephant speak in the story? Why doesn't he say who he is? Now, the reason we're Christians isn't because we are kept in the dark and we're trying to sort of work out the full picture. God has disclosed himself and we need to know him, don't we, in that? It's not that we're seeking him, it's that he is looking for us. And he shows us who he is and what he is like and how we can know him. We aren't left guessing about him. There's another analogy of the world, for the world, and that is like people climbing a mountain, and they've all got their paths to the top, and there's so many religions. There's many paths to the top, and they've got different paths, but really what happens is you all end up at the same destination. Many world religions doing that. And so you reach the goal, there are many paths there, and you say, well, there isn't actually one way, and you've got to affirm all the other ways of getting to the top. So surely all the world religions can't be wrong. Surely it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you believe it sincerely. Surely Burger King is right when it says, have it your own way. You tap it into the popular ideas, have your beliefs, have your truth, have your way. Or paths like, I'm trying to escape the never-ending cycle of reincarnation through my devotion to a personal goddess. Or this one, I'm trying to empty myself by not clinging to earthly objects of pleasure because they will cause suffering in my life. Or this one, I believe in myself. Or I'm trying to be the best that I can. Or this path, I'm agnostic. Or the path, I think all religions are the same and they're bad. Or I try to live by the golden rule, do unto others that you would have them do to you. Or this one, you can do whatever you put your mind to. Make your own destiny. I believe in oneness of everything, and God is in everything. So many views and philosophies of paths for fulfillment, so many claims about what is true coming from them. And into these many personal views about life and what works and fulfillment for me, all needing to be accepted and affirmed, stands this claim, the only one for the world. Jesus answered, I am the way, I am the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This is Jesus' timeless answer to a close friend of his, Thomas. And Thomas wants to know where Jesus is going. He's trying to sort of process everything. Jesus has said he's going away to prepare a place for him. And by the way, he's not going to sort of go away to a place like we might, because we've got to get the house ready because the in-laws are coming. Clean the house up quick. He's not talking about going to his father. He's talking about that, and he knows that this is all about him, Jesus, about him giving his life in love for the world so that people like us can live with God forever. Why is Jesus the only one? In the sense that he is the only one who can save us. We need someone like us who can save us because we are not fine. This is not about lacking self-fulfillment. And we could be fine if as long as we could find the spiritual potential and actualize it. This is not about making people better so we can sort of all hold hands and create a nicer planet. This is not a journey that we're on to sort of oneness for the global spirit of life, and nothing is going to stop us building this new humanity based on our oneness. No, we need someone who is fully qualified to deal with the state that we're in before God. And no amount of self-fulfillment or on our part is going to do it. Only Jesus as man, who never deserved to die, yet dies crucified simply because we haven't loved God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. He died to secure the forgiveness that we need from God. But we also need someone who is not like us. Someone able to deal with our wrongdoing against an infinite holy God. So Jesus, the Son of God, makes this infinite payment when he dies on the cross. An infinite payment, something that which we could never do. And this is why Jesus, and Jesus alone, is the one. Because his life showed that he was fully man and fully God. He is just not one among equals. He is in a class, all on his own. There is no one else like him, no one else who is the way to God, no one else who just didn't teach the truth. He is the truth. No one else who is the life, who brings people into the very life God intends us to share with him. Achieving a security like no other. All the religions offer their security on these terms. If you jump through enough hoops, you can be saved. A treadmill of hoop jumping. And you can never be sure whether you've gone far enough or whether you're going to be good enough to make it. And what Jesus has done, there is such the offer of security, because he is saying loud and clear to us, there is nothing you could do to make God love you less. Ariel is a university student, and last year, Ariel was diagnosed with a carcinoma, which is a bleeding on the brain. And doctors say that she'll bleed again, and if she has surgery, it will probably leave her severely disabled. But if she does nothing about it, her life expectancy is about 5 years. Ariel's 23 years old. In a week receiving the news, Ariel went into a university class and told her classmates about this condition. And she shared with them three insights that comfort and a wonderful security that she had. First, she said, God has good plans for my life. And I believe he won't take me until his purpose for my life has been fulfilled. Second, Jesus knew what it was to have only a few years left to make an impact on this earth. Once he said, my time has not yet come. And he could still see each day as a day to serve God and others. And then Ariel's third encouragement was this. You know, my condition has made me more aware of the fact that my body is growing weaker. And that is true for every one of us. I may be more aware of it, but every one of us has to ask the question, how are we going to live? Given that today could be our last. 6 months later, Aria was interviewed by her pastor, and she shared how there was a point, she thought, looking into the mirror with her right side now very limited in mobility. Is this the healthiest I'm going to be? Is this the strongest I'm going to be? Is this the prettiest I'm going to be? No. No, absolutely not. And Ariel spoke of the joy of knowing that one day she would have a body able to do far more than it could ever before. You see, being a Christian, being a follower of Jesus Christ, isn't about just simply believing some new ideas and following some rules and trying to sort of tick some code that you're trying to keep in your life. It's not about sort of a religious philosophy that you sort of try to buy into. No, it's a real personal, life-giving relationship with Jesus, the only one who provides such security and assurance for your future. For Jesus is the only one who has defeated death and the only hope we have today is we are not heading for death, but in Jesus heading for a greater and greater life with him. For Jesus is the one Lord, the one Saviour. Jesus is our Lord, is ours. And he is to be revered as God. People worship him as God. There is nothing like this in any other religion. The Jews reject this. Muslims reject it. The Krishna spoke of the avatars, the rebirth of Vishnu into human beings, but never God taking on our human nature once and for all and forever. Jesus is now the one man, the one Lord who reigns as King of the universe in the place of supremacy at God's right hand. And once the Lord washed his disciples' feet, and yet our place is on our faces before him at his feet. The one Lord. And he is then the one Saviour. He said he goes to the Father. And said he had the way to the Father for anyone who'd come. And his crucifixion proclaims, you cannot save yourself. It humbles all pride. It dashes all hopes of some sort of self-salvation. The world religions have nothing like it. Nothing. Why only one Saviour? I mean, should we even ask that? I mean, why should God give us any way to be saved? Why did he give us the way, the truth, and the life in his Son? Why did he give someone to stand in our place to take the punishment, the blame, the hit, the penalty, the curse, the judgment for our sins that they deserve? The astonishing thing is not that God did not do that in many ways. The astonishing thing is he did it in even one way. And Jesus is ours. Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life means we come to God through the Father, through Jesus Christ. It means God is with his people, and these people are united in Jesus Christ, so we can know God through Jesus. Buddhism doesn't know Buddha. The Muslim doesn't know Muhammad. The Marxist doesn't know Karl Marx. The Confucianist doesn't know Confucius. Jesus is ours because God has a people for himself. It's like you're adopted into his family. And the key to the whole thing for you is this. Is Jesus the way, the truth, and the life for you? Is Jesus yours? Jessica Buchanan was a worker in Somalia. She worked with a Danish charity teaching children how to avoid landmines. In October 2011, Jessica was kidnapped by a band of Somali pirates armed with AK-47s. She was a prisoner for 93 days in the wide open through the rainy season. And over that time, she became malnourished. She was greatly affected with kidney infection. But the captives kept her alive. Negotiations stalled for her release. She'd lost all hope. But in the middle of the night of January 25th of 2012, she woke to sudden and violent eruption of gunfire. And she thought that a rival gang had engaged her captors in a battle, and she buried her head in her hands, thinking that she was about to die. And then she felt a hand on her shoulder and heard someone call her name, Jessica. And she heard it in an American accent. And under cover of night, a detachment of US Navy SEAL Team 6 parachuted in and attacked the camp, and all the Somali pirates were killed, and Jessica was unharmed. The SEAL team picked her up, carried her out of the camp to the designated pickup zone, and the SEALs made a circle around her and waited for the helicopter to arrive. They laid her on board, and she was flown away to safety. Jessica Buchanan contributed nothing to her rescue from her captors. The SEALs did it all. And when they rescued her, literally from the pit of death, they gave her a new start. They gave her freedom. And this is what Christians realize about themselves. We are the rescued. We are the freed. Once in death, now in life, by the one who said that he is the life. Is Jesus yours? When Charles Wesley stopped trying to white-knuckle his way to heaven and put his trust entirely in Jesus Christ, he wrote on his first new birthday a hymn, And Can It Be? It's a song commemorating his own prison break, like Jessica, a prisoner who could do nothing. Well, the prison break for Charles Wesley was only possible by the one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray, I woke. The dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off. My heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. Is Jesus yours? Wesley knew it for certain. He declared in the same hymn these words, that Jesus is mine, all in him is mine, alive in him, my living head, and clothed in righteousness divine. Rescued, right with God, new life available for the world through the one given by God for us. Well, over these Sundays during our Jesus is Focus, we're giving people time to personally respond to this. Jesus, is Jesus yours? You come to him simply by saying yes. Yes, a step of faith, of trust in him, and recognizing that he is the one among many, the way, the truth, and the life. It's about making a personal, making this personal for you, that Jesus really is the way, the life, and given for you. And there's a prayer. If you find this on your yellow handout this morning, I've printed it there, and let me read it to you and see if this is something you want to pray. Lord Jesus, you are the one true and living Saviour given for the world. No one comes to the Father except through you. I understand there is no other way, no other message, no other means where I am accepted by God. I turn to you now and put my trust in you alone. Please receive me as your own. Please forgive my sin, and please change me and enable me from now on to follow you. If that's something you want to pray today, I suggest we all pray, we all turn to God, and I'm going to pray these words slowly, and you just pray quietly to the Lord who hears your prayers. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you are the one, the true and living Saviour, given for the world. No one comes to the Father except through you. I understand there is no other way, no other message, no other means where I am accepted by God. I turn to you now and put my trust in you alone. Please receive me as your own. Please forgive my sin. Please change me and enable me from now on to follow you. Amen.